I'm Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, and I invite you, gentle listener, to join us for the best analysis of the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the business. BGN Radio provides you with the most informative preview shows, and the Kist and Solak show dives deep into all the scheme and X and O details you could ever want. Plus discussions with the industry's brightest minds, including former NFL players, and press conferences from the Eagles coaching staff to keep you up to date and informed every step of the way. Subscribe to Bleeding Green Nation today. Fly, Eagles, fly.
This is gonna feel real good, all right?
Most dope.
Everybody, please put a thumb in the air.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Well, that's good. Welcome to Broad Street Hockey Radio. That's right, BSH Radio. My name is Bill Matz. I am a director of fun and games for the evening. It's hockey season, guys. There were games. I watched them with my own eyes. I was watching one before I was here tonight. We made it. We survived the off season. We continue to bring you the great content, and now in-season content. We have training camp battles. We have hot takes about fighting. We have all sorts of good stuff to get to tonight. So let me introduce you to the panel. Let's lead it off with Stephalicious D. Steph Driver.
I hate preseason.
And you yell at me for yelling all the time.
Well, maybe you should turn down your volume.
I did, and then you turned it back up.
Take it off of the other ear.
And let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
The Flyers only play the fucking Islanders. Like, whatever, they play the Rangers and the Bruins a couple times, but it's all Islanders. The Islanders are terrible. I'm sick of seeing their stupid faces and their stupid jerseys, and I fucking hate preseason.
Yeah.
The Islanders are
good night.
The Islanders are a dreary team.
They truly are.
Like, why do I want to see them four times before the season even starts?
I guess it just doesn't matter, like, to anybody.
Suburbs hockey team.
Filling in for Charlie O'Connor, who's at work or something tonight. Who knows what he's up to. Sports are bad. Craig Forsyth.
I had a whole thing written about Igor Zamula, but I'm pretty much just going to say. Yeah, pretty much. More or less. That's the only reason why I wrote about him. I'm already done with Corbin Knight. Like, I just don't want to hear about him. I don't know.
Who,
like,
even is that?
I don't know. It's some center for the Phantoms.
It's
that
a pretty badass,
like,
hockey name, though.
Corbin? Knight? I don't know. Corbin. I know that's not his fault, like, the being named Corbin, but, like,
wasn't he a Hobie Baker finalist?
Mike Vecchione was a Hobie Baker.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about him.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just saying Hobie Baker finalist. You know? I don't think they should count them as good players.
Vecchione,
you know?
Was centering one of my favorite lines ever assembled tonight. He was in between Isaac Ratcliffe, my favorite prospect, and Tyrell Goldborn, my favorite guy in the whole organization. I had a lot of fun with that line tonight.
I think Corbin Knight was with Dale Weiss, and it was such a line of I don't even care.
I think the coach put them together on purpose just to be like,
just
I can look at other shit when they're on the ice.
See a difference line.
Last but certainly not least, the bespectacled, spectacular Kelly Hinkle.
I don't know about you guys, but my body is ready for the Misha era to begin. I'm here for it.
And we're going
to
get into some Vorobiev tonight because looking pretty good.
Not bad.
Look out of place. I liked what I saw out of him tonight. I guess I have to. The thing I've been railing for. I've been railing for the Flyers to trade for Erik Karlsson, you know, basically since the trade deadline. And it did not happen. He ends up in San Jose. And obviously, I am disappointed. Erik Karlsson was traded and not to the hockey team, the Flyers. Philadelphia is one of the most stocked prospect pools in hockey and could have matched pretty much any offer out there if they wanted. However, Ottawa simply refused to trade Karlsson to an Eastern Conference team. They're a trash organization with trash management and decided they'd rather see him on the West Coast than attempt to improve their organization to the fullest extent by extracting maximum value from one of the best players in hockey. Such is life. I've criticized Hextall in the past for his lack of aggression, but when I saw Ottawa stipulated that they would receive an extra first-rounder by no later than 2022 if Karlsson appears on an Eastern Conference roster this season, it became clear Hextall just couldn't have made this deal. Hopefully, I see you this summer, Eric.
Oh, that's sweet.
I think it's refreshing that you finally acknowledged that the Ottawa Senators front office fucking sucks.
I've always known that. I really thought that maybe they had seen the light and were going to start doing things the right way. But now, after seeing what happened with this whole Erik Karlsson thing, I would like to go back on what I said on Ice Sport last week and say, acknowledge that they are as bad, maybe worse, than I always thought they were. They're shit.
Bill, I enjoy your last sentence here because it sounds like you're writing to a pen pal. So I was like, expecting like a love, Bill.
Very then, wistful.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll see you this summer,
you know,
Eric.
Out of all of the people in the world that I could imagine Bill writing a love letter to, finished with a love, Bill, Erik Karlsson is absolutely on that list.
That's true.
He's the new Bobby Orr, who I think is the greatest player of all time. Like, I want to wrap him up and just make him mine. That's all.
That's all. Well, nothing weird.
Anyway,
that's
it. On an unrelated note, Tyrell Goldborn got into a fight, and on the next shift, Vorobiev scored tonight. Coincidence?
Yes.
I think not.
Actually.
He got handled, too. So, that was like a Max Talbot fighting thing.
He did.
Yeah.
He got it.
He held his own a little.
Johnston is twice his
size.
He's a big dude.
And
I
respect that he went out there. However, I will say, a little disappointed. It's fine to go out and fight a fighter, but that's some real, like, 90s Flyers shit. Like, that was always a problem with the Flyers is, like, an enforcer would take a run at Lindros, and then, you know, someone would just go and fight him. Like, no, go hit Mario over the head. You are wrong. Like, and after the hit that, who was it, Clutterbuck or Matt Martin? Was it,
Matt Martin.
After the hit that Matt Martin put on Travis Sanheim.
Fuck that guy.
I really, really, and I am blaming Christian Folan as much as Matt Martin for that hit, because that's one of the worst fucking passes I've ever seen. It was like an 8-foot pass, and it was in his skates behind him. Like, yeah, Matt Martin's whole job as a forechecker is to hit. You just basically got Sanheim hurt with that pass. I don't remember.
He's trying to earn his job.
Yeah, I really wanted Goldborn to like take a run at Hosang or Bailey tonight, just to be like, "Hey, man, look, you did this shit, so we're gonna do it too." I don't know. I realize that part of hockey's coming out, and it does no good. But for a guy like Tyrell Goldborn, that's what he's gonna make his name on. But fighting fighters isn't gonna work out for him. Taking a run at Josh Hosang actually helps the Flyers.
It's not gonna get you a spot on the team, though.
Nothing's gonna get him a spot on the team. So at least do something right.
Like, all
right. It's not a part of hockey anymore. But if that's his role, it is. I don't know. Why is he here otherwise?
Did he get? Was he up during the 10-game losing streak last year? How did he get up last
year?
They brought him up
for the energies and the grits.
I don't remember what it was.
Yeah,
I think it was at the tail end of that.
I think maybe
it was later, wasn't it?
I think I saw him in January.
When were you not here? Because you were not.
Kelly, you look comfortable.
I'm very comfortable.
All I can see on the Facebook Live is your feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're gonna have more viewers than ever tonight.
That's all I can see.
Show feet.
Also for sale.
Show the couch.
All right. So we're a little off the rails. That's
where I wanted to start tonight, was with the Sanheim injury.
Oh, I thought we were starting with selling the couch.
No, I'm jumping back a couple of seconds.
I'll buy it.
I'm hitting the 10-second rewind twice. Sanheim injured. Hextall provided an update this afternoon, said he's only going to be out a week. So I guess that's, in terms of how bad that could have gone. It's okay. In Charlie's piece in The Athletic, he said a week time frame could put him back in action as soon as September 24th when the Flyers take on Boston at the Wells Fargo Center. Most importantly, it implies that his status for the October 4th season opener in Vegas is not in doubt. I just want to get back to this pass by Christian Folan, because
Folan.
I'll pronounce his name right when he's not getting one of our top four defensemen injured. Much like Dale Weiss, I said I wouldn't start pronouncing his name right until he scored a goal. If that's what he's going to bring to this team, no thanks. Watching what the Flyers were doing tonight in the preseason game, I watched two periods before I had to come here so we could record this show. If they're going to continue to do this low to high stuff, that is, I mean, it's their offensive strategy. You need to load up on defensemen who can handle and score the puck. And they have a bunch of them in the lineup tonight, and they all look good. Myers was having his ups and downs. Provorov. Ghost has a pair of power play goals. If this is the strategy, we need, Andrew McDonald scored 6 goals last year, career high. Brandon Manning scored 7. If Myers and Sanheim are in the lineup, that's 10 to 12 each. Yeah. It just seems like that's the way to go at this point, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's just...
Dave. I mean, yeah. Logic says...
Gets me to my Christian Folin thing. Why are we doing this?
Well, yeah, seriously, why?
He was signed as the number 7, and Andrew McDonald... I mean, he's getting paid $800,000. He was signed as the 7.
I know. I just expect to see him in the lineup more than we should.
It's the thing where he gets signed as the 7th and then...
Then injuries, and he's there, so he's going to get the spot. Good news... ... Maybe, is that Andrew McDonald is ahead of schedule.
Oh, excellent.
Yay. So we may not actually have to see Christian Folin.
I think he's still going to miss some time.
Or Phil Myers.
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
I want some Phil.
Phil Myers, watching him just tonight, he has so much damn potential.
Yeah.
But like on a shift-to-shift basis, you can see his ups and downs, and that's going to happen. Young guy.
Well, yeah, that's
like, but his, like, the ceiling is so high, I just don't want to, like, I know I don't want to harp on the possibility of getting hacked this early because we're going to have all season to complain about it actually happening. But, like, I see it. I can foresee, we just don't know what we're going to get out of Myers every night. Like, if he has 3 turnovers and 2 assists, well, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, but 2 goals is good.
Yeah. Well, going back to what you were saying about, defenseman with offensive upside that can actually make something out of the low to high, Myers did have a play in the first period where he deked somebody at the blue line and then he drove to the net. And Berbrov had it and Gospier had it. But, yeah, you imagine Phil Myers in there instead of, fucking
Myers.
Manning.
No, that's that,
like Brandon Manning.
That was the exact play where I was.
He started.
I tweeted that. I tweeted the low to high thing, and that was the play that made me think it. Like, oh wow, if we have multiple guys who can do this, just not the top pair, this could actually be an effective strategy.
Work, yeah.
Like, this could work, and it's one of those clashes. In okay, if this is Dave's strategy, wouldn't it make sense to have like offensively gifted guys instead of going with the zero dimensional?
Yeah,
that's the thing that's like super weird about it is that we complained a whole lot last season about the fact that Dave doesn't adjust his system to fit his players very well. Mm-hmm. But now he's got the players that could play it. But just doesn't want to play them.
Yeah, well, the other side of the coin is that Ron Hextall doesn't necessarily want them to play. He wants them to be seasoned just a little bit extra. Like, it's definitely both sides of, or the opposite sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
I mean, but Hextall waited a long
time.
Hextall wanted Sanheim on this team last year.
Yes, he did. Yes. And Dave refused to play him. I mean, that
he waited a while to send him down.
That was a travesty.
Trademark, Bill Matz. but this team is, you can start. JVR had an assist tonight, set a good screen for one of the ghost goals. Had a breakaway that he didn't cash in on, but he seems to be a little bit everywhere. Where do we want to start tonight? With whom? I guess let's talk about the first game a little, because the first game, it's the first freaking preseason game. I don't want to harp on it too much. And after the effort I saw, especially after like the first 3 shifts tonight, they clearly turned it around. But it's absolutely concerning when like 4 guys, including the coach, are all like, yeah, we just didn't play that hard.
I mean... It bothers me a little bit that, like, the very first words out of Dave Hextall's mouth in this hockey season were this team played soft and they need to get better in the hard areas or whatever he was saying. But, I mean, like, it wasn't anything even closely resembling what the opening night roster of this team is going to be. It was the first preseason game. It's really hard to get worked up about.
Not going to get too worked up about it. Not going to spend too much time on it. But when it's guys who are fighting for, like, if Claude Giroux comes out and doesn't try that hard in the preseason, I don't give a shit because he's Claude Giroux. Like, when it's all these young guys and the other team is clearly way more amped up than you, it's you're fighting. Don't you want to be here? Isn't this what you worked your whole life for, is to get right here to earn your job? I don't know.
It was also a lot of kids on the roster for the Flyers yesterday, and a lot of veterans for the Islanders.
Yeah, and it's the exact opposite tonight because the Flyers are the home team. That was that was the Islanders' home opener, so they wanted to kind of put people in their seats. Flyers put people in their seats tonight with Giroux's in the lineup, Voracek's in the lineup, so kind of have a more complete roster, even though there is like a Goldborn Vecchione line and a Corbin Knight's playing, but the top two lines Corbin look Knight. Good.
Yeah. So the one thing I think that's notable about the first game is that Morgan Frost kind of came out and shut all of us up and was like, I'm actually not that ready. I'm actually not that ready for the NHL, fam. I might need another year.
That was one of the telling quotes about, and Morgan Frost is a guy who's, we thought might be in the 3C competition, but he's not in the lineup.
I've been trying to tell you guys he's not going to be the 3C.
No, I didn't think he was. I thought... Just he would like, earn a more of a look.
I thought he was going to make a little bit of noise.
Hextall quote on Morgan Frost's first preseason game. I thought Morgan was in that group last night that was a little bit intimidated in terms of probably where they were. He was pretty quiet. He's got a lot of skill, and he was pretty quiet. It's just when you hear that, it's Hextall going, okay. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to look at Vorobyev. I was right to say Wheel, because I got to tell you, I like Wheel at center. What I was watching tonight.
I feel like I do, too.
I was watching tonight. He was back to what he did 2 years ago. Down low behind the net, I saw him win battles. I saw him chip in down low defensively a little bit with a couple of nice smooth plays. So that could be a nice boost to the offense if he's at center with Wayne Simmonds on one wing and then whoever ends up on the left wing, Lindblom, Raffel, whoever. Lawton, they're looking at left wing. So there's a lot of options for this third line. And the potential bottom six combinations are, listen, I know we're going to get Jori. I know we're going to get Jorald. But maybe not for 75 games.
Yeah.
Even as a fourth line wing, I'll take Jori instead of third line.
I think he's a center. No, as long as he's not 3C.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
I think he's going to be 4C.
I also don't like Lawton on the wing.
I don't like Lawton either.
Yeah, they're like trying to jam that in there. Yeah,
and that's something. Yeah.
They're trying to make it happen. And that's fine, but.
But like
I
that was,
love it.
Yeah, he was center most of the year last year, and then hacked all like three games left. He was like, "Hey, why don't you get over there?" And then it's like,
wait. Yeah, I don't love it, and it does seem like they're trying to shoehorn him back to wing, which is ridiculous because that's what they did on his first stint with the Flyers.
Didn't work,
and it was
sent him back down,
and then they sent him back down to learn how to play center, and now all right. So here's what it is. Scott Laughton is really not the player that is going to make or break your lineup, whether he's at center or whether he's at wing. I mean, he's not going to make or break anything, but his skills, I feel, are better utilized at center. I have a lot of opinions on the 3C battles only because they didn't go out and get someone who is going to be a game breaker. Now we're left with, all right, all of the options that we had last year, and let's try and make the best out of a not great situation. It's not great.
I'm fine with that if, Wheeler Vorobyev at 3C and Lawton. If they kept Lawton as a fourth line center,
I don't know why that's not a thing.
Option.
Yeah, that would be a very ideal situation.
I don't know why if Lawton's at the bottom six, he has to be on the wing. And Sarah has the center.
I like his versatility that you can play him both ways. And Hextall mentioned him today as him and Wheel kind of the top guys still in the 3C competition. Right. But I think they have more of an idea of what Scott Laughton is and what he'd bring to that. And we can always throw him in there.
Yeah.
We can always just give it to him if the other guys fail. But if we can have, say, Wheel looks good and then Laughton, you can play him anywhere and it's kind of like having two centers, then it's not, I don't think it's the end of the world if he's a winger. If he's on the fourth line, I would like to see him at center because that means Jorald is the 4C. Yeah. If it's just Laughton with two good players, that would be better than having Jori in between Laughton and whoever is left. I just think you get better combinations that way. But if you want to get him on the third line, I don't hate it at wing.
I'm very nervous that we're going to have two above average fourth lines with the 3C candidates that we have. Now, I'm not saying that Vorobyev is a bad choice. I actually think that he's the best choice for 3C, but he'd also be a really good 4C.
I think the third line, if it has Lindblom and Simmons,
yeah, it's gonna
I think
be.
It's going to be kind of hard for it not to be. I know Simmons is not great at 5-on-5, but Lindblom,
for third line competition,
yeah,
he will
third
be.
Line competition, and also Lindblom and Lawton or even Wheel kind of drive play, so they would kind of help Simmons out in that area.
Do you believe Lindblom to be a lock?
Apparently
I
not.
Thought so a week
I thought
ago.
So, and then Charlie's like, right, and then he's not.
I thought
I
so a week ago, and I don't know. I keep seeing these different combinations, yeah. And...
Is he waiver exempt still? All right, so nobody knows.
So?
I don't know.
Charlie would
just
know.
Thinking about what Hold could on. Potentially be, even if Lindblom... is a fourth liner. I don't
know if they would put him on the fourth. I think that's too
I think
low
they
for him.
Love his
I mean if they put him on the fourth line then I like all four lines I guess.
Well then like, they're all good, but the problem then becomes is that this is a team obsessed with roles and they
yeah.
won't like
yeah.
roll four lines
yeah, yeah,
in like
yeah.
an effective way. One of the things that I was thinking about watching the game tonight. So let's say that Jordan Wheel wins that 3C spot, but Vorobyev continues to play really well through preseason and camp and stuff. Do you think they would put Misha on wing just to keep him with the team?
Wait, real quick. Lindblom is waiver exempt.
Oh, okay, well.
Good. Well, then, yeah. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I'm thinking, like, if Lindblom doesn't light the world on fire in camp and
yes.
they really like Vorobyev, but they like Wheel at 3C,
yeah.
I'm wondering if they would try to wedge Misha in at wing just to keep him with the team because he's played so well.
Well, then I mean, then but we've got an excess of wing problem because you've got Simmons, you've got Roffel, you've got Lawton.
Yeah.
There's you need to talk into the microphone
this way.
Yes,
that's
okay.
The way.
Thank you.
That's
I'm telling you.
This, I know.
This
they
yeah.
are going to give.
People are gonna.
Dave was talking today about Lawton, and they are going to give Lawton a look at center. They
yeah.
just they really like the way he played at wing. Well, Dave really liked the way he played at
Those
wing.
Three games.
Late in the season last year, says he finished the season very strong at left wing, and they want to give him time there. And since they don't want to flip back and forth nonstop, they're going to give him a couple games. A couple practices at wing, and then, you know, later this week or next week, they're going to move him to center and give him his shot to impress there, and then kind of figure out, you know, how everything else falls, because he can do both. And that's like Vorobyev, I think, is a center.
Yeah.
I think that's his value. If you're going to play,
he's always
like,
been a center with the
Finos. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to play that Maybe. Sean Couturier-esque style game, we need you in the middle. Lawton, yeah, we can get, you can be a gritty, you know, bottom six center, or we can put you at wing and we can use your speed on defense to challenge point men, and you've got a decent shot coming down the side, so we can kind of utilize your skills however the rest of the lineup dictates. So I'm not totally against it. I think he's a center, but I think of all the other candidates, he's the best to move over.
I also, to your point where they're going to try a lot of different combinations, just want to say they've got four games in four nights.
Yeah.
Number one, that's asinine. This is just absolutely fucking ridiculous. Number two, let's really see what these dudes are made of.
An 8-game preseason preceding an 82-game schedule.
Seems like a bit much.
Four of them are against the Islanders.
And like,
it's a little much.
Four of them.
An 8-game. And like, listen, yeah, we're going to go over a ton of camp battles. We're talking about all this stuff. But like, the Flyers' top D pair is set. The Flyers' goalies are pretty much set. The top two lines are pretty much set. We're talking about like 2 to 3 roster spots total that are actually up for grabs. 8 games is just excessive.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Going back to the goalies real quick.
Are they set?
Yeah. Do you think Lyon
well,
has any chance?
Carter Hart had a shutout tonight, baby.
He did.
Oh.
Neufert didn't get hurt tonight, even though he came way the fuck out
he
of his net.
Will absolutely
I was like, where are you going?
What are you doing?
Let in 1 goal on 9 shots. Trash.
Get back into your home.
They're going to play like 7 games this week, 10 games. Yeah. He'll get hurt like doing something.
Oh, for sure.
It's Neufert. Even if
no,
he's not
sneezing.
Playing. Yeah. He's in hockey equipment too much. He's going to break something.
He didn't get hurt coming damn near to center ice tonight.
Yeah, he's risking it. He used all of his luck on that play. Now
yeah.
it's like...
As soon as I saw him go down like near the dots, I'm like, oh my God, this is it.
Several of his bird bones are fractured now.
The Carter Hart era begins right now.
You asked about the goalies, so this is what I'm going to ask.
Uh-oh.
Do you think there's a possibility? Say Hart just looks good. Say, Hart just looks like he's a good NHL goalie. Not a starter, not a star, but it's just, yeah, we could throw him in 30 times this year, and we don't think we're going to lose all 30 of those games. Does he displace Neuver or jump Lyon?
No. I'm not. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Lyon. I'm
you're,
not,
you're talking about Lyon.
I'm talking about Lyon. I don't think Hart's
making the team.
Beat out
Neuver, like, straight up?
Not beat him out, but the idea that Neuwirth is going to get hurt in like 2 weeks, that's all.
Yeah. Okay.
And like if Lyon, I don't know. For some reason.
I'm here for this. I've heard that he's just been okay, but I'm excited to see.
Who, Lyon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like he was all right last year. I don't know how he's looking in camp so far.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't know how he has been either.
I don't know. If you get rid of Neuwirth one way or another, then you have two roster spots for Hart and
Do you think
Stolarz.
We could interest the Vegas Golden Knights in Michael Neuwirth if we throw in Corbin Knight?
Ooh, Corbin Knight
to me?
Of the Knights.
Yeah.
Corbin Glitter Knight to the Knights.
Ooh.
No, because then that makes Corbin Knight interesting. Don't do that.
Neuwirth
I don't want to do
does
that.
Does have a glitter,
He's got
mask.
A glitter mask?
I did kind of like that mask. I was like, oh, maybe I don't want to see him go. I was like, no, this isn't how you make your decisions, Bill. This isn't how you do things. It's not who has the coolest equipment.
But how cool is that glitter
mask? It's really cool.
It's really cool.
I dig it. It's very different. Very, very different.
I love it. I love it. The NHL is bringing glitter back, and I'm here for it.
Glitter back? Was it here?
Do you remember the 90s? Bedazzling was fucking everywhere.
I think the Hurricanes.
I remember the glow puck. I think the Hurricanes
at one point had like one of their like gray stripes was a little glittery on their jersey.
Kings, they've got some glitter.
Oh, the Kings do have a bunch of glitter.
Yeah, I need flowers to stay far the fuck away from glitter.
Something that was brought to my attention, though, that I hadn't considered. Neither Lyon nor Stolarz are waivers exempt.
No, they're not.
They are not.
So obviously you don't read BroadStreetHockey.com because Brad outlined all of this earlier in the summer.
I linked to it when I looked it up because somebody asked me on Twitter and I said, Brad wrote this article outlining.
I actually saw that. I've been waiting to call you out on it.
I can't read everything. You know,
Broad
Street Hockey is free. I don't get to it all. The Athletic costs me money. I have to read it or it's a waste of money. And if I read at night, I fall asleep. There's only a window where I can actually read.
You hear that, Chuck? Right. So anyway, yeah, Stolarz and
So what
Lyon.
Happens there?
Well, I mean,
no one's claiming Stolarz.
No, but they can be emergency call-ups. Right?
Like, well, they have to be waived at the beginning of camp.
Oh, yeah.
So
if they're
I thought you could put them down.
No.
No, you can put them down before,
The season starts.
Yeah, you can.
I don't think so.
At the end of camp, they can decide these are phantoms and they go there.
Yeah. They've got to be waived, though. They've got to go through waivers. So. They do, because that's a risk every year. And then it's like, well, everybody's sending all their players down, so no one's really paying attention to waivers right now. You can look it up.
I think we might have to look that up.
I really like Alex Lyon.
I don't know.
But I just don't trust him to be an NHL goaltender.
I trust him more than Norver's body. Trust him than not get. I don't. That's where I'm coming from. And like I know Ellie and Neuwirth have been. I mean, they're pretty much locks. That's the only one that I think is like maybe not 100% guaranteed. I don't know.
I think if Neuwirth healthy is a lock, it's just that I don't know how you can obviously say, oh yeah, after an 8-game preseason, he's going to be
he'll be there.
Yeah. At no point last year he came back from injury and played a period and got hurt again.
Yeah.
It's totally
possible.
It's
his thing. Everybody's got a signature. That's his. I mean, you can't
And the dude's a decent enough goalie, and if he could just play 30 or more games, it would be fine, but he hasn't and probably will continue not to.
Yeah, he's looked good. The two of the three seasons he's been here, his numbers have been good, but he's just been injured for months at a time, like weeks at a time, so...
We're all looking up this assignment thing because I'm pissed off and nobody believes that I'm right.
No, it's not that I don't believe
it. I just don't.
It's like a thing, if Verbia doesn't make the team.
Yeah, if you don't make the team, then you're a phantom. You don't have to clear.
Like,
you do have to clear. A lot of them are waivers exempt.
Or they have AHL contracts. I don't know.
Or that.
They have AHL only contracts, shit like that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so like who wouldn't be waivers exempt right now if they got sent down to the Phantom? Like Stolarz would be?
What was that?
Who wouldn't be waiver exempt right now like Stolarz?
Stolarz is not waiver exempt. Neither is Alex Lyon.
Okay.
Do you? I was just thinking about this today.
Somebody take Stolarz.
I expect to see Elliot Neuvirth, Lyon, and Stolarz all play at least one NHL game this year.
Yeah, I do too. I expect that.
So, Anthony Stolarz is not going to be with the Phantoms, right?
No, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's going to be either loaned to like another AHL team, or
they could roll three goalies. It's
put down Redding or three goalies. Yeah,
they could
that would
do
be
it.
Very silly, in my opinion.
I don't think it's great.
Other teams have done. I know the Flames did it a couple years ago because they had a bunch of goaltending prospects too. But
I mean, I guess I wouldn't care. But like Carter Hart's got to get reps in. Like he can't be sitting.
Oh no, I think if you're going to put somebody else on another AHL team or in Redding, I think it's going to be Stolarz.
Carter Hart will be in the net for the Phantoms this year.
Yeah.
I will say, though, given what happened last year, it's not that bad of an idea to have three goalies in below the NHL level, because I don't want to have to go out and give up assets for Peter Mrazek again.
I had somebody asked you this the last time I did the scrambles, but do you think Carter Hart gets any NHL action this year?
Possibly. It depends
on
injuries.
Not regular time, but like, do you think his playing time, NHL playing time at the end of the season is greater than one game?
I think so, only because it is a lot, like it is a possibility that he outplays Lyon with the Phantoms and overtakes him as the starter for the Phantoms, and then Michael Neuvirth inevitably gets hurt, and then if Carter Hart's playing lights out in Allentown, then he's going to get the call up, and then if he's up long enough, eventually he's going to get a start.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I don't
too.
Like that doesn't seem like out of the realm of possibility to me.
I think about it, the more I think Neuvirth is getting traded and Alex Lyon's the backup.
I wouldn't
they gave him the one-way contract next year.
Yeah. Like I mean, but next year, we've got no goalies.
Yeah. No,
we don't know what's going on.
So maybe next year it's just Alex Lyon.
No,
who
they
knows?
Are in a situation where they're going to need somebody to play next year, it might not be Carter Hart.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to so that could just be that situation. But, man,
who is trading for Neuvirth, though? Because it is kind of a funny concept that if your goalie gets hurt, you would trade for Michael fucking Neuvirth.
The most hurty goaltender that
it would be like a conditional fifth round pick.
It would be a desperate team.
We're going into this season with Brian Elliott and Michael Neuvirth. Like, that's what's happening.
And for sure.
One, if not both of them, will be injured before Christmas. I mean, that's
at least one of them, for sure.
At least one of them will be injured before Christmas, and we'll see Alex Lyon. I think that's what it is. And it's going to be complicated, and hopefully nobody will notice that they have to go through waivers. And that's what it is. Well, that's what it is. And that's why you do it all in one day when all of the other teams are doing it too, because everyone's so focused on roster management that they don't want to pick up anybody else because they're trying to get their guys set. So, Charlie talks about it all the fucking time.
I want to circle back to Misha. I want to talk about Vorobyev a little
more. Yeah, let's do that.
I watched him tonight, and I've only seen the guy play a handful of times before tonight, and I don't want to put too much stock in one preseason game, but he opens up the scoring tonight, takes a wrist shot low, and I couldn't believe a flyer shot on the rush, and the puck went in the net. I thought that
was
against,
nice to see.
I thought it was against the rules. I didn't know that was a thing that you could actually do. Everyone says he might not have that offensive game, but he's got that good two-way game that we look for, especially from a guy who might top out as a 3C, but if he can give you good, solid minutes and chip in every now and then offensively, cool. He looked, the one word I was thinking of tonight was smooth. Offensively and defensively, he made good decisions with the puck. There were a couple times where he had to make a quick decision, and every time the puck went where it was supposed to go, of course, he scores the goal. I really didn't think he had a chance to make this team, but based on what I saw tonight and Hextall shouting him out and saying, yeah, he's got a real chance. And we'll talk about Rubstov because he also mentioned Ruby Soho as someone who might have a chance. Vorobyev looks like he might make this team.
You know, he's always been my favorite for 3C, and I haven't really made a big enough stink about him. I just haven't made a big deal out of it because I really didn't want it to be just some dude. I really wanted them to go out and get Paul Stastny is who I wanted. Like that's, you know, that's who I wanted. But Vorobyev, you know, he's good. He's good. And he's, he reminds me of Couturier. He reminds me of Couturier with a little bit more offense, a little bit less defense. If you could imagine that, and that's pretty much not Couturier at all, but let's run with
Couturier for like the first five seasons of his career.
Or like think of rookie Couturier.
Yeah. What's interesting about Vorobyev is that I kind of thought he was a dark horse at best. But watching the 1.5 periods that I got to see with my eyes tonight, he looks just like effortlessly in there. You know what I mean? Like
he doesn't look out of place.
Yeah, he doesn't look out of place with NHL players. He doesn't look like he's working super hard. He just looks like he belongs on an NHL roster, which is not exactly what I expected to see from him.
That's watching him tonight, and granted, again, you know, the Islanders didn't have an NHL roster out there, but they have some good, they iced some good players tonight. Kiefer Bellows was out there. Josh Hosang was out there. They haven't had their chance really in the NHL yet, but they're NHL players. He looked like a guy who belonged. Playing with some good line mates tonight, I don't know if he's going to have that if he makes this team, but I was just impressed. I liked Charlie would say he does the little things, and for a coaching staff that puts so much stock in the little things, like watching Myers tonight, I saw the case for him and I saw the case against him. Watching Vorobyev, I was like, he fits. He definitely fits.
Yeah, I only watched one period tonight, but Charlie and Maddie have been going on about him for a while, and you could see that. Yeah, it was like you were saying, he's pretty smooth, and just every decision he had to make seemed to be the right decision.
Yeah, and he made,
it didn't
there were
seem
just
like
some,
there were any hiccups or anything.
Some quick little plays he made in the offensive zone and in the neutral zone, and
he had a penalty, but it was
he was skating through the crease defensively, and he just kind of grabbed the guy. It happens.
But everything else.
Clean that up, Misha.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I really do think the Flyers should, every 7 minutes in the preseason, purposefully take a penalty just to get the reps on the penalty kill.
Oh, boy, because it's still not great.
I
don't want to do that.
They allowed...
The first game was hilarious.
They allowed two power play goals on three opportunities in the first game. Did they give up any power play tonight? It was an even strength goal they gave up at the end of the second, right?
You know it was a really, really good idea.
What?
To not change anything about the penalty kill. Yeah.
Well, you see, they added Christian Folling.
It was a really good idea to not change anything.
I'm still
on the
here for the
kill.
Putting your best skill players out there.
What a wild and crazy idea.
Because I know you two are upset. Like the Leafs, Babcock came out and was like, yeah, I'm going to put Marner and Tavares on the penalty kill.
What's that about?
Why don't I just do that?
Good
yeah.
in all situations. Like, that's
good
true.
Hockey players. Are good at hockey.
Well, my favorite too is they tried Simmons out there 2 years ago and he wasn't injured. He was flying everywhere and he scored a couple of short. Like maybe go back to that.
Yeah, I think Simmons is going to get his chance.
Did he start the season with two shorties or something like that?
Yeah, and he was blowing by people. Yeah. Like Simmons is okay.
It's almost like roles are bullshit.
Wow. Yes.
I think Simmons, now that he's healthy, is going to get a chance, especially since he's
I'm talking like I want to see Giroux be on like back in the day.
He needs a rest.
But yeah, there's only so much I can ask of Claude Giroux.
He does all the things already.
I need him to win some faceoffs, absolutely. Yeah. But I don't want him out there for extended penalty kills and stuff. I want to use him in big spots. I don't know if I want him all the time.
The younger ones
I'm raising my hand.
I think Steph wants to say something.
TK for PK.
They used him in the first game. They used him in the first game. He was on the ice for one of the goals against. It's going to be a learning process for him. Killing penalties in the NHL ain't easy. You're out there against five really skilled players.
Yeah, but worst case, you draw a penalty, and then it's even strength.
I'm also still worried about they're going to turn to McDonald on the first PK defensive side. So I think
it's
going to
be him and Provorov.
I was going to say, Katori and Simmons, I think, was the tandem 2 years ago. Last year, I'm not really factoring in because Simmons was hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. But like 2 years ago, they were fine. But I think
they're gonna give TK a look in camp and see if he can win a job. I think Lindblom's gonna get a look there because he's just good along the boards, good in battles. Yeah. Not the fastest, and I would love a little more speed out there, but Scott Laughton just has to be better at it. If Taylor Lear wants any chance of playing this year, he has to be better at killing penalties. It's just gonna be
Wait a minute. Are we talking about Taylor? We're talking about Taylor Lear.
If we're gonna have guys out there, I mean
roles.
If we're gonna have
I unfortunately think that the Flyers ship has sailed for Taylor Lear.
I believe seriously. So too.
I think for his benefit, trade him.
Yeah, bye, buddy.
I mean, you trade him for what?
Yeah,
what
I mean, I said that about.
They got something for Ty McGinn. All right.
Yeah, we're talking about Ty McGinn, though.
Oh, I love,
you know,
Ty
what I mean?
He had a nice face.
So I was convinced.
Third round pick for Zach Rinaldo.
I was convinced. Ty McGinn. I said on the air on WIP that Ty McGinn would make everybody forget about JVR.
He was going to be something too.
He would fully replace James Van Riems.
That came back.
No. It didn't age well, but I was there with you at the time.
I really, really.
Do we have those tweets? Give me those receipts.
I really, really believed in Ty McGinn.
I mean, he did look good.
I was actually coming because looking at like all these camp battles and looking at what the roster could be, and like even my worst case scenario for this roster, there's like one or two guys I don't really like that are going to play every night. I was like coming up with my all take team, like all these guys I forced myself to say like I like just because they had nothing else. Like I was convinced Jason Akeson could play.
Those were Jason Akeson is done playing in North America. I just saw it today.
Like I think Oliver Lawrenson, I was in love with Oliver Lawrenson.
Everybody was in love with
like,
Oliver.
Oh my god, he was the next Pronger.
Yeah,
come on.
I don't even think he's playing anymore.
I was convinced. I so I'm gonna publish my all take team at some point.
I'm ready.
And it'll just be my love for all these guys that I had to convince myself. Now it's like, oh yeah, if you know Misha Vorobyev, probably an NHL player.
Eric Gustafson.
Oh
my god.
Gustafson was better than Kiro Kiemenin. Come on.
Yeah,
people
way back
were
in the day. I was on the Gus bus.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be
else.
Honest. Yeah.
Oh my god. People were obsessed with him.
When he scored that goal in game 5 in 2014, I think, and Braden Coburn set him up.
When they played Hal Gill.
I was like, he's here for years. And then he got like cut. I don't know.
Benched for Hal Gill.
And then Hal Gill looked like a fucking iceberg out there.
He tried real hard.
Oh yeah, Rangers just skating right around him, laughing. Like, what the fuck was that? Why is there a huge obstruction in the middle of the ice? Someone needs to. There's a divot or like a something. What?
Someone left a large log on the ice.
Can we get some maintenance out here?
An actual turnstile would have been more useful, but there's no need to go back in time because we have this. I know. I started
this is
it.
Fun.
I started it. Hey, it's here, guys. We're here. So what else? That's what I wanted
Facebook
to say.
Facebook is reminiscing with us. It's good.
That's what I wanted to say about this rookie game real fast. You're hating playing the Islanders.
Four times!
How much of a disgrace is it that the Flyers could put 10,000 to 15,000 people in a building for this rookie game, and the Islanders did it in an empty practice facility?
Well,
sell some beer. Make your team
like
some money.
Lou Lamoriello.
Is there a practice facility on the island, or is it in Brooklyn?
I have a feeling it's on the island.
You could tell me any of the Islanders' facilities are anywhere in New York right now, and I'd say, yeah, absolutely. That's where they're at. I feel like they just, like, rotate. Like,
they play in Uniondale.
Yeah, like, they're every other day it's, like, news about, like, yeah, they got to practice here now. They got to practice in this closet.
I don't know. Like, even if you let people in for free like the Flyers do, you'll sell the beer.
Yeah.
Like, I won't say there were 20,000 people there last year because there weren't, but it was easily 10. The whole lower bowl was filled and half the upper.
It was packed, yeah.
Listen, Flyers fans aren't, you know.
I was tailgating
we've done our fair share of not great fanning.
We didn't just trade John Tavares. I'm sorry. Let John Tavares walk for nothing.
We should
do a tailgate.
Right,
though, they got Phil Peel in return.
It's in East Meadow, New York, which is on the island. Yeah.
So back to the 3C thing, because that's the number one camp battle here. Hextall had some quotes. You know, there's a lot to be played out there. I think Vorobyev has been good, been really good, but there's a lot of camp left. I thought Rubstov played well last night. I know Wheeler's looked good in camp. Scotty's looked good in camp. Certainly Wheeler and Scotty are top guys for that spot, and I think they've both done a good job. Vorobyev's had a good camp, and Ruby last night was pretty good.
Ruby!
Two shout-outs for Ruby.
Can we talk about how Wheeler shouldn't be a nickname for Wheeler?
Wheeler.
I agree completely. Wheeler is like a
whole
different last name.
The nickname should be longer than
the...
But he's got
wheels.
I can see Wheeler. A coach would definitely say Wheeler. I mean,
they're hockey players. It's two options. You put an E on the end or an R on the end.
Jordy.
All
right. I'm sorry.
I
want to trade Jordan Wheel now, actually.
I would say Wheelsy if I was talking to him.
I'm all right with that.
I would say Wheel, but that I don't know. That's just me.
I would say Wheelsy if I was on his team. Yo, Wheelsy.
So Does anyone else find it super surprising that
yes.
the germ is all up in here considering
I'm sorry,
the fact
they're calling
that
him Ruby.
Was, I'm talking.
Oh, no.
I just got a finger.
He's kind of fallen out of favor, I feel like, as far as prospects go.
In the one base, great. He has.
Well, yeah, he wasn't great in World Juniors.
I don't think he had a great junior season.
He did
either.
Not.
Like, I know the Teton.
Apparently.
Whoever won the Memorial Cup, but he didn't.
No, he wasn't.
Apparently. He yeah. didn't score, but
right.
looked great at everything
but
else,
like,
is the spin I've been hearing
queue,
lately.
Everybody wasn't, scores.
Wasn't hearing that during the season, yeah. but lately I've been hearing, actually, his season was really good. He was just not scoring.
Well, that's why I haven't been high on him, because he doesn't put up points. And then also, Hextall came out, I think, at World Juniors, and I was like, yeah, he's a third man high. Like, he doesn't go down low. Like, he doesn't do anything.
In this offense, he'll get 100 shots.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's fair.
The whole World Junior argument, because it's all of 7 games.
Well, no,
with players that they don't know.
Not a sample size there.
I hate that.
But when you're an older player going in for the second time around, you expect them to be almost dominant.
I want to see
but also
talent shine.
A comment like that is like, it looks like he's not trying. That's how I read that comment as. Not like he didn't produce. Like, there's a difference between like getting bad breaks, but then also just not going into the corners or like doing stuff.
He didn't
that
look good in
do.
The games that I saw.
Wheel, Vorobiev, and Lawton were all in the lineup tonight.
I'm not done talking about Ruby.
No, I'm talking about Rubstov right now.
I'm glad
Rubstov is not playing for a second night in a row. However, according to Charlie, he skated on the top line in practice with Couturier and Lindblom. So I guess they're giving him looks at both wing and center.
Yeah.
And he's in. Hextall mentioned him twice, so he's in.
Yeah.
I think he has more of a chance to make this squad than we thought. That's what it looks like.
I don't think he's going to.
But I don't think so either, but I find it interesting that he's even in the conversation.
Yes.
Because I didn't expect that he would have been. Yeah.
I really liked Rubsov last year at training camp. I really liked what he looked like. And the game that he played, he played real tight against Myers, and we know all about Phil Myers at this point. Mm-hmm. I really liked how he looked last year and was disappointed in the season that he had. I'm really not surprised to see him in the conversation, because he does have the skill set that would fit for 3C, because I don't think he's going to be anything more than a 3C.
No, yeah.
Which, that's not necessarily a knock on him, because if he is a very good 3C and that's his ceiling, that's fine.
And this is,
we need them.
And he has enough skill to be drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of what we've been asking for. Like, all right, if we're going to go with these guys, let's at least have guys who can do the checking and also some puck skill. So the fact that Vorobiev, the fact that Rubstov are in the conversation for whatever jobs these are, because it looks like maybe some wing spots in the bottom six are a little more open. Like, I know Dale Weiss is not going to play.
Well,
Yorld might not play that much either. Mm-hmm. He's going to play some, but he might actually get overtaken by one of these guys based on these comments by both the coach and the general manager. And again, it's early. They're playing, or they just wrapped up their second preseason game.
I think Hextall was asked specifically about Rubstov.
Oh, okay. That changes a little.
I think so. Is either Rubstov or Frost?
This was a Hextall quote, just talking about all the 3C
competitors.
Like,
nobody said Rubstov.
This was just him saying who's in the 3C competition. The fact that he mentioned him twice.
All right.
Doesn't bring up a guy like Morgan Frost, because Frost did not impress him.
Yeah.
I was just saying,
I didn't hear the question. Somebody was just like, what about 3C? What are you thinking about?
One of them was asked specifically about, it was either Morgan Frost or Rubsov. I'm looking it up.
His Frost comments seem more like they were an answer to a direct question, but I don't think we've talked about the most important thing that we've learned during preseason. That it's Nicholas Aubé Kubel and not Kubel?
Last year, I was watching.
Outrageous.
Make the team, and I'll be concerned about that.
Yeah, I couldn't care less.
No, that's what. Before
we were
anyone
talking about it, before you guys got
here. Before I was last year and I was like watching the hits that he got suspended for, looking at what the actual suspensions were for. I heard the announcers calling him Albay Q Bell, and like I couldn't make my mouth pronounce
Jim Jackson
it that way.
Did drop one of them this like tonight.
And then,
too.
Well, now Jim Jackson has said it.
Yeah. And so now Tim Saunders on the radio.
Yeah, and now that's how all of the now everyone knows how to pronounce it because freaking Jim Jackson said it. So now I have to make myself pronounce it properly because I get killed for not knowing how to say words.
Well, I was going to say also I had to make the team burn, but also I still say Lindblom instead of Lindblom.
We all do.
I mean, yeah, I'm still going to
spell it with two O's and I'll start pronouncing it that way.
He let it go on too long. That's his fault.
That's his fault. Should've it's like Grossman with the two N's.
Yeah
too figure late, it out, buddy. It's your name.
All right.
Lindblom's going to have 400 games under his belt and finally just be like, you know, it's Lindblom, right?
No.
No, we know. We just don't care. All right. So let's talk about who is not going to be making this team.
Aww.
They made their first cuts. No real surprises here. Matthew Strom.
You hear that, Kurt?
Matthew Strom sent back, Maxime Schuschko sent back, RIP, Wyatt Wiley sent back, and they let Liam Hughes out of his amateur tryout. I thought Hughes looked pretty good in the rookie game.
Maybe he'll get a job out of this.
I hope so.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
So. Yeah, he looked fine.
There's just no room for him here.
While I hate people named William who go by Liam, he looked okay.
Wait,
is that his first name?
I assume.
Liam.
I always thought Liam was his own separate name.
Liam was
but
Zofa.
Now that you've maybe pointed it out, it is the last four letters of your name.
It's like Topher instead of Chris.
That's enraging.
I just don't like people named Hughes either. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Like Travis, who does
Got
not
him.
Listen to the show.
Travis is Hugs. Travis Hugs.
I mean, they have, again, we just talked about it, five goalies, nowhere for him to go. He's on an amateur tryout.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They just needed some camp bodies, but no real surprises here.
It was like,
here.
Oh, yeah, those guys. Have fun.
I'm still surprised Zamula's here, honestly.
Tell me about your boy. Tell me about your boy. You kind of wanted to start the show with him, but then you came up with a real hot take.
Yeah, I had an actual hot take. My whole thing was just I watched him a little bit last year. I didn't watch him, watch his highlights when I was looking up draft stuff. And he was ranked pretty high in central scouting rankings. And for those not familiar,
Did Dart Guy give him that ranking?
I can't believe that guy still got a job with that. But
he was ranked,
so he was ranked 64th among North American skaters. And for perspective, Wyatt Wiley was 71st, taken in the fifth round. And when you look at guys around Zamula, they were all taken in the third round or the fourth round. So he's got some skill. I don't know how he went undrafted, and also he wasn't given a tryout for anybody else. So when you look at his highlights, he's a bigger guy, and his skating isn't too pretty, but the words thrown around with him aren't physicality. It's more about being defensively responsible and everything. So that's why I was kind of interested in him. Also, the name is hilarious, so I wouldn't mind saying
that. I do enjoy his name, and he's a... You look at Phil Myers, who...
It kind of get that... I'm not saying that at all, but it's the same kind of thing where he's a bigger guy.
It looks like when healthy, Phil Myers is an NHL player. No idea about this dude, but...
Same kind of thing. He's big. He's got two-way potential, and it seems like when you watch the highlights, you get the best part of him, but it looks like he makes smart decisions with the puck.
Is he going to be a Phantoms?
He has to sign a contract is the big thing.
And
I mean, if he played, I wasn't expecting him to play in any games. I thought he was going to get let go after rookie camp.
He played tonight. They said he's impressed enough in camp to earn a preseason game, which is
kind of a big deal.
Kind of tough for guys to do, especially on a team where I think he's 18.
Yeah. I was talking about this draft. Yeah, he was being considered for this draft. I can't believe
he's just a little one. I feel like the Flyers are good at finding these project guys.
Yeah, so. I mean, if he turned out, this is the exact way that Hextall found Phil Myers.
Because
Phil Myers went undrafted.
Yeah, Phil Myers
didn't
put
up a ton of points in the queue, and then he was
in rookie camp with the developmental camp with the Flames, and I think it was the Flames, and got released, and the Flyers picked him up for training camp, and he earned a contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unprecedented.
Right.
Obviously, you know. This is the second game, but it's something to keep an eye on. And when you have a deep prospect pool, like we talked about with Jay O'Brien, I couldn't remember his name for a second.
That guy.
Like, you can afford a project. If it's going to take a little while, it doesn't matter because you have so many other games. You're not counting on these guys.
Yeah. It's actually better at this point if they take a little while because we don't have any room for them.
There's nowhere for him to go.
I was looking at this
guy.
I was looking at the Because this past season we had Terrence Omarosa, Carson Torinsky, David Drake, and Anthony Salinitri all come up with, like, they need to be signed or let go. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the draft picks since 2017, I think Hextall has made them all European or collegiate players. So all their rights are extended 4 years instead of just the 2 years like OHL players. So I think going into next summer, the only guy they have to worry about signing is Brendan Warren. And heads up, Brendan Warren's going to be a free agent in August of 2019. So that's,
I forgot that he
pack
existed.
Pack a bag, Brendan. Yeah, like he's
came,
not.
He came
I forgot
from
he did
the,
too.
The Merrick Madsen trade?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because I looked at all the draft picks and I was like, I think that's everybody. I was like, oh, wait, Brendan Warren. And I was like, oh, buddy, this is adorable.
Sorry, sweetheart.
Had like 9 points in University of Michigan. He's gone. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's like
you don't have to worry about it.
He's a bottom sixer in the NCAA.
Yeah. Speaking of those guys that you just listed, though, Carson Torinsky.
Looking pretty good. I thought he was going to, after Dove McFalls, which is a great name, I thought he was going to be the second pick that Hextall wasn't going to sign. Mm-hmm. But he's looked pretty good. Each opportunity has been put into like the rookies game or a camp or something. So,
you know what's going to be like cool? This year and next year, like when there are injuries, they're going to call someone up and they're going to be good. Like, yeah. Worst case scenario, Danique Martel. That was best case scenario at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They have so much depth. The Phantoms are going to be a good team.
Yeah.
Phantoms were a good team last year.
They were.
To get up to Lehigh Valley.
Actually,
and
that's a
them.
Good point because then Verobiev could just be the first call up anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing, you might not have to plug in Dale Weiss. It's like, nah, Dale, you're going to continue to sit in the press box.
You know he's going to get some games, though.
Dale Weiss is going to, let me say, under 30 games. I think Weiss plays under 30 this year.
Oh, yeah, that's
oh, fine. God, if he plays more than 30, things have gone terribly wrong.
If Dale Weiss plays a single game.
Uh-oh. I mean, he's going to have to play at some point.
One single game.
You know, Hextall's going to get that itch, though. There's going to be like a 6-game losing streak.
There can't be a point where
they're going to be going out to Edmonton. He's going to be like, oh, man, I need somebody who's not.
We need the rugged Dale Weiss.
Yeah.
I
need to win some battles in the corner.
He played 46 games last year. I think he plays at least 16 fewer.
How many points did he get?
9. 8.
Oh.
4 goals, 4 assists. He also played in 2 playoff games, which is absolutely hilarious.
A win.
Oh, that's because of Lindblom.
Lindblom, yeah, got benched.
Maybe Lindblom doesn't make the team. Absolutely no scenario that I see Dale Weiss playing on this team.
May I introduce you to Dave Hextall?
I mean, like, it's not the craziest thing in the world. He's going to get fourth line minutes.
But, like,
not a ton.
We have 17 guys
we
for
do.
The bottom six.
No, you're right.
No.
Dale Weiss is still going to play a game or two.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's the thing that's just going to happen.
It's like a very easy scenario. Like, the Flyers lose, like, 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
Something looks fucky. Dave's like, let me try to shake things up a little bit. I'll throw Dale Weiss in.
Lindblom is like an overtime turnover.
Forget it.
You're telling me Hextall's not going to look at this team and be like, I need more grit tonight.
Oh, my God.
I need a little bit of veteran leadership.
Dale Weiss, Captain Crit, is going to be sitting in the corner, chewing on tobacco, wearing his cowboy, whatever he does that makes people think he's
gritty. If Dale Weiss was gritty, I wouldn't mind.
This
rugged Dale Weiss that I keep hearing about has made 0 appearances for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Throwing bales of hay in the corner locker room. Just typical Dale Weiss shit.
If he was the dude from Letterkenny, I'd be all about it, but he isn't.
He's super like sulky and whiny that he's not playing, and the team does not like that. The team doesn't like it.
I want him. Then he can play.
That's why they love Andrew McDonald, because he took his AHL sanctioning with like. Like a smile on his
sweet
face.
Boy.
He's like, I'm making $5 million. I don't give a shit. Yeah. Send me to the ECHL. I'll dominate.
White Castle for everybody after a Phantoms game.
How fun would that be to have one of those like
decent bales?
Like a little league thing. They're just throwing out sandwiches.
When
chewing on one of them.
When Briz
out of his mouth.
With his cowboy hat. I cannot get over to overalls. The cowboy.
Briz was playing somewhere and took all his teammates out to like brunch or some shit and just picks up the check and goes, yo, this is on the Flyers. Like, how great is that?
It's amazing.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun. Do we have anything else, guys? I think that's basically it.
Nah, fam.
I mean, we've got a lot to laugh about. I don't know if anyone wants to listen to it.
I would.
I haven't made a single dick joke tonight, which is outrageous.
There was something I thought. I wrote something down and really thought it was a...
Bill wrote down the dick
all
joke.
No, it was all these... Hacksdall. Overall, too many soft areas of the game from my standpoint. Yeah. Too many soft performances in hard areas.
Hate that.
We had too many guys who were soft in the hard areas of the game. Lindblom, you can't come out soft.
Can't do it.
I feel like we played junior hockey against these guys.
Oh, did we miss Lindblom calling Clutterbuck something?
Oh, shuttle.
It was Haig.
That's what I meant, Haig. Yeah. The other Swede.
Where did it go? We talked about it in the second period. We have to win our battles. It doesn't
Shufflebuck.
It doesn't matter if you play against Martin or Shufflebuck or whoever it is. I hate that guy. There's that kind of player in every team, so you just have to battle. Yeah, Shufflebuck. That's what he called it.
Shufflebuck or whoever he is.
I love that. Robert Haig coming after like a seasoned NHL player.
I love it.
I can't wait to watch those two fight because you know he's going to come after him like, say my name. And they're going to have to fight.
Remember Shufflebuck. This mustache.
I love that Islanders fourth line. I don't care how bad they are.
I like Cal Clutterbuck.
Yeah, I could watch those dudes.
Cal Clusterfuck.
I could watch those dudes go out and hit everything that moves.
They still have that fourth line, too.
Yeah, they put it back together. They put it back together this offseason.
It's going to look great with like 24 wins this year.
Lou traded for Matt Moore.
Tonight on the broadcast, I heard, and a pass to Filppula, and I swear to God, I almost had another stroke.
Oh, yeah.
He intercepted
a pass, I was like, they're going to go on this whole fucking turnover. Like, they're going to compliment him for getting the turnover.
What am I watching?
I looked at the pregame roster and just saw Filppula's name. I was like, no! This is the Islanders side. I was
like, PTSD.
I'm having a bad dream. No! That is all the time we have for you on Broad Street Hockey Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in on Facebook Live. For those of you who joined us live, great show, guys. It's hockey season again. I missed it. Charlie will be back with us next week, probably. I don't know.
Do they have another game? I don't know.
Who's to say?
I think so.
They do.
Oh, before we wrap up, I just want to... We are all sending our love out to Tater, who I am told was a very good pup and a big fan of the show.
Yeah,
thanks for listening, Tater. You will be missed by Flyers Twitter. Have a great week, everybody.
Are you ready to talk about sports?
Yeah. Who's gonna score a hockey goal? Our team. No one does more hockey than our boys.
The Flyers.
Broad Street Hockey Radio. Turn that shit up, you motherfucker.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.